rate of expiration. These
Marshall
are
used to like to repeat, you know, like when we read about how a Homer type ode, poet, would use certain riffs over and over again.
Right.
And the trouble with you is your fallacy is wrong. He used to use that a lot. My father was a salesman, and he was a high school dropout and dyslexic like Marshall. I believe that Marshall was dyslexic.
Right.
And because he never wrote anything, he always dictated either to his wife and then to Mark Stewart.
And Phineas Wake's written for dyslexics. I mean, you have to be dyslexic to accept it.
Anyway, my dad used to like to use certain gags over and over again. And it wasn't that what made them so funny, what made Marshall so funny, my father so funny, was not the lines, but just the context, when he would come out with a particular line.
Yeah, because even though he's repeating, now that's what he say, a print person doesn't like a repeated thing because it's mechanical. But an acoustic person, a tactile person, knows that when you repeat something in a different context, it's different.
Different, right.
Whereas in a print society, homogenizes, makes everything be on the same level, then that level rules. It ruled from 1600 to 1900, say. Visual space, flat homogeneous space, flat homogeneous space, that was the context for everything. So repeating something in that context was irritating.
That's why when you called me a bastard, it was very sweet.
Yes. Well, the interesting thing, now that all times exist, all past, presents, and futures exist, then no medium is obsolete. It's the last line of Take Today. Remember? Zingroni mentioned it in the York Symposium.
Oh, yeah.
He talks about this and that is obsolete, and then he says, obsolescence is obsolete. Because when we're resonating around an inarticulatable situation, then we'll grab on anything, any previous media meme, and celebrate it. Stop. Because in all these different media expressions, they are the whole history being replayed in Orphic Baroque spirals of affluence, because we need them, and wealth is the past. We actually live in a situation which is beyond wealth. It's immeasurable. And that is what language has come to. So here I am talking, using verbs to talk about a situation. This is not my personal opinion. This is something that's obvious. If you hear it said to you, and time is spelled out to make it clear, what I'm saying is quite makes sense, right? It's not hard to understand, up to a point. You're going to bring your soul, personal impression in there and say, well, this and that. But doesn't this make sense? Because you've lived it. I'm just describing what the weather is. You know, it's cold or it's hot. The internet is neither hot or cold, so what is it? It's not even here. It's the technologies fighting among themselves. Now, that's another aspect that alienates humans, is that Croker, this is the stance that Croker takes, the third school of media ecology, that flesh is sitting on the sidelines, that would be first nature, while the Andor meme has come alive, and it's just talking among its parts. So the book writes a book about itself. Movies make movies about themselves. They're all fragmented and can't tell the whole story. So they feed off each other. A book needs to write about whatever movies are doing to people. The news has to write about what other media, including war media, are doing. So everybody's talking about each other, but it's just media memes talking about each other. And flesh is sitting on sidelines. That was tough in the 70s and 80s. That's the big era of Reaganism and neoconservatism, which totally... Neoconservatism comes in under satellite conditions because a satellite creates an individual autonomous person, like a Walkman, before the Walkman. You're floating around all previous media, so it makes you feel autonomous. The Western individualism really became extreme under satellite conditions in the 60s and 70s, became the me decade in the 70s. That is a gargantuan, leviathan on people's sensibilities. So you have the bland out, the depressing 70s and 80s. Now, why was an exuberance in the 90s where people felt free? Because the Android meme shrunk, became tiny. And so the hidden ground of that is that our first nature bodies are now walking around where they had been previously, like this quote says, all through history, we've been servo mechanism of our technologies from the beginning of time. Think of the 30s with radio booming. Think of movies, think of telephones, think of the printing press. That caused 100 years of religious warfare once Luther showed up with a different print version of the Bible. Then you have television. It creates a totally different sensibility. These are massive environments that affect whole cultures. If they shrink, then we get to the point that we're not being affected by media. At least the internet makes us feel that. The characteristics of the internet is to become so tiny and miniaturized that the human being, the body that the technology came from, feels autonomous, free of media for the first time. And as I said, you know, an hour ago on the Pop Culture Express there. But this is the point of his book, that we're now free. If we understand McLuhan, though he does know it's McLuhan, we then would be detached or not worried about the torrent of images. He gets about halfway into that insight. And the point is, he just gets to 1952 in The Mechanical Bride. That's where he's gotten in McLuhan understanding. All right? So, if you want to know what I'm talking about, you have to understand Finnegan's Wake. You have to know how to read it. That's what McLuhan was doing. For a book, for POBs, he said, I'm going to save your bloody medium, because I'm going to say the best combination of that was Finnegan's Wake, and that book should be here forever. It's the greatest book ever lived. And he said, it was in Newsweek in 1966, he said, it's the greatest inventory of media effects. Okay, so he's preserving a book. So if you're a book culture, which we are, and I don't know if the whole world will ever become a book culture, because they're going to come in it from other sensibilities, and now we're in the discarnate Android meme, tactile simulation world. Are the Chinese going to be literate like we were? I don't know. Though media shrinks, it does enhance individuality. The whole world is yours. You know what I mean? It's the movie made the whole world your oyster, but the internet makes the whole world editable by you. Edit is a pun on edible. He meant editable spaceships. You can edit your reality. You can edit and interact with it and control these huge media environments. So we are now confronting the body that it all came from. Right? So if I look at you, Mike, and I say, what language do we speak? And you're a stranger. And I'm really aware of all
of you. We don't speak the same language, Bob. We don't speak the same language, believe me.
Well, that's the private little consciousness, first nature coming up. Because what do I say to you, since I know you've been programmed by your own culture, plus all these media environments, plus the internet, and I have, and I know I can edit my own solipsistic bubble within it, then where is a matchable thing? Where can we match and begin connecting with ESP? Probably won't even care. Because you can talk to yourself through these AirSats mirrors of yourself, all these media. So we're going to solve solipsistic bubbles, but we still have to deal with how we're going to relate to each other. What's going to be the new Esperanto? Remember, Finnegan's Wake as a satire and making Esperanto. What's going to be the new language that people can share? We may not need to share anymore. So it's the ultimate autonomy, ultimate anarchy, and that is a threat to cultures that are tribal, who, for whatever technological evolutionary point they're at, and they really still believe in tribalism, then we have a literate culture that enhanced individuality. And then the internet creates a tactile individuality. An Arab doesn't have a tactile individuality passed through literacy. They had manuscript culture, but they didn't have industrial literalism. And McLuhan said the Gutenberg galaxy is not just print, it's the railroad lines, it's the straight streets we have, the school chairs. The whole environment is linear, not just the book. So we are now having a memic battle between a meme that believes that there's a shared space and another meme that is experiencing a non-shared space, the East versus the West, or the clash of civilizations. It should be the clash of memes, which are mythic as real environments, mythic stages is what we're fighting. And what is fighting? So we're standing here watching George Bush declare war on himself, all right? Because there can only be one thing, but it's not a human being declaring war. It's the Android meme having its crisis and dying and arguing among its parts. Any questions?
Also, Newtonian versus Einsteinian space.
What?
Newtonian versus Einsteinian space.
Okay, so what is string theory space? What is 11 dimensions? I would say 11 dimensions fits because we got 11 kind of media environments historically. You could make it 11. Marshall has 26 in understanding media, but you have more than two. Einsteinian is electric. I don't think Einsteinian is digital space.
Well, you talked about the if you could just replay the things you said.
Let me repeat what I was about to say.
No, you were making the dichotomies between this and that.
Right, right. Newtonian, yes, we're Westerners, we're still book people, and it's like, remember, a meme is the cultural gene. geneticists say we're controlled by our genes. The meme scientists say we're controlled by cultural memes. So it's like mind controls and body controls to make a dualism. But memes are really technological and shared.
Nature versus nurture.